broadcasting worldwide in complete defiance of the U.S. Patriot Act and the NDAA.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
The sonic symbols everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the truth.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Stand for
flip
freedom here and now.
Undo the
only
spell.
Thing that's on my mind is who's gonna free this town
bring
tonight.
It.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. A very special warm welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Kev Baker Show, right here on our home station of truthfrequencyradio.com. Now remember folks, you can chip in the chat room tonight if you go to the homepage, click listen live and choose the chat room option. And a big warm welcome to everyone that's listening across FM platforms in Eugene, Oregon, and also in Denver, Colorado. And tonight is a very, very special night. It's Tuesday night, and on the Kev Baker Show, that is our info bomb night. And before I introduce our very special guest, let me just introduce my two co-hosts and really good friends. I'll go to Johnny Whistles first. How are you doing, Johnny, this fine Tuesday evening?
I'm fine, Kev, thanks. Great to have the man on again. This is another really great show tonight. Really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I really do class us as being very privileged right here as hosts of the Kev Baker Show to be joined by Jordan Maxwell and the listeners out there as well. Please sit back, get a notepad and pen, because some of the information that Jordan covers, you really do need to note this down. I've seen myself having to go back maybe two or three times in the past, Marty, when we've had Mr. Maxwell on, and there's still new nuggets of information to be uncovered in the information that we think we've listened to already. So are you looking forward to tonight, Martin?
Yeah, definitely, guys. It's always good to be here and looking forward to hearing what Jordan has tonight. Should be good.
Yeah, so without any further ado, for the listeners out there and listening around the world, I want to introduce to you the very special guest, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I think okay. Never know for sure.
That's good news. That's good news. So what would you like to talk to us about tonight? Because as I said in the first appearance here, we're basically the students, and you are our teacher, Jordan. I know that probably sounds absolutely ridiculous, but that is how I see you. You've got so much information to pass on, and I'm just going to step aside now and give you the platform to present that. And I'm sure myself, Johnny and Martin will want to chip in as we go along. So Jordan, over to you.
Well, if you have any questions, let me know. That doesn't necessarily mean I have any answers, but if you've got questions, you can always throw them in.
Oh, don't you worry about that, Jordan. We'll certainly chip in with those.
Yeah, let's start off with questions. Do you have any in particular you want to deal with now?
Well, Jordan, today I was actually refreshing my memory. I went over and watched your documentary, A Dawn of a New Day Again. And it was basically the whole Sun Order theme that you were talking about. I would love you to talk to the listeners about that, if you could, sir.
Okay. Well, first of all, American, in the States, the U.S.'s national symbol is a bald eagle. Well, as it turns out, the eagle has been the symbol that's used by many, many nations. And so are you hearing me all right now?
You are loud and clear, Jordan. Absolutely
okay.
Brilliant audio.
Good. So many, many nations have used an eagle as a symbol. And it goes all the way back into actually probably, proto-Sumerian. It goes back to Sumeria, Babylonia, Phoenicia, Cana. Eagles were used in Egypt and India, Greece, especially Rome, and all throughout Europe, and even into America. So the idea of having an eagle as a symbol is nothing new. It's a very old symbol. And the reason for that is because an eagle always, always represented one thing. It represents the sun. Because it's very high in the sky, and he can look down on the earth And so we know that eagles have a tremendous vision so that they can see things in detail from very high. And so it was always considered the eagle represents the sun. Well, that being the case, going back into the ancient world, it was always using the eagle representing the sun, because all of the ancient cultures that used the eagle said that it represented the sun. So it has that symbol has to do with something has to do in an occult way or hidden from view, the symbolism of the sun. And of course, when you understand that Christianity is based on sun worship, and that this is why Jesus is referred to as God's Son, and he's said to be the light of the world. Jesus is God's Son, the light of the world. Well, we misunderstand. English is a Germanic language. It's called Low German. And in the German language, that thing which comes up in the morning that brings light into the world, that thing is spelled S-O-N, not S-U-N. And so in the German language, the sun that comes up in the morning is S-O-N. So therefore, that sun belongs to who? Who does it belong to? It doesn't belong to anybody on the earth. So obviously, it must belong to God. And so therefore, the sun belongs to God. It's God's sun. And God's sun, we are told, is the light of the world. Well, of course, the sun is the light of the world. What else lights our world if it's not the sun? And so when you begin to see that the sun and the eagle are synonymous in national heraldry and symbols, and of course all over the world, official badges, flags, coats of arms, anything, insignias everywhere have the sun as a main center on all sorts of badges, of police departments, of fire departments, government agencies, all carry the sun. So the whole concept of the sun being important in religion and politics and world commerce is extraordinarily important.
Well, Jordan, I'm glad you brought up politics there. It was just reminded me of the actual eagle representing the sun. And I heard you talking about how not only does this eagle have omnidirectional vision and it can see above everything else, but it also flies with two wings, a left wing and a right wing. And that is obviously what we see in the world today in our political systems.
That's right. And of course, like I said, you know, even on the back of the American dollar bill, $1 bill, you'll see the eagle, and he has, as you said, he has two wings, right wing and left wing. And so the symbolism on the back of the dollar bill implies that there is a sun. It's referring to as a sun order, some sort of an order of the sun, and it has two wings, left wing and right wing. And so, well, now more than ever, people are beginning to suspect that, you know, both political parties, right and left, are basically financed by the same people. It's all the same project. It's all the same people. And of course, it is. So, but I'm more interested in the occult, or and the word occult simply means hidden. I use that term a lot. It doesn't mean, the word occult doesn't mean anything evil or bad. It quite simply means hidden. And as I've said so many times before, that, you know, real knowledge and wisdom has been hidden. And so you have to dig for it. You have to really, you know, it's like anything else. If you're going to be a professional in your field, that implies that you're going to spend a lot of time studying your discipline, whatever it might be, sports, a doctor, or a lawyer, whatever, you're going to have to study your subject to be proficient in it. And so when you study the symbolism and the hidden symbolism that's been used for thousands and thousands of years, you begin to see a connection from day one. We've always been dominated by some sort of a system, which there's no doubt in my mind, because if you look at this long enough, if you stare at it and research it and read about it, about the symbols of power and the ancient world and the medieval world and the modern day world, look at the symbolism and you will see that it's always the same symbols, always the same words. So it implies that there is nothing new under the sun, and that the more we change, the more we stay the same. So I am of the opinion, because this brings you into a whole different avenue of thought too. Who is really in charge of this planet? Because it seems like the more we change, the more we stay the same, using the same symbols and emblems that we've always used for thousands of years. So it implies that there must be some sort of an overshadowing, and that's the word I like, an overshadowing power over the earth that dominates the entire world that we live in, and it has always dominated the world that we live in. So all of the ancient stories coming out of history, of the ancient history of the wars and revolutions and the violence and the overthrow of governments and all the different religious rising of religious movements throughout the world, all of it seems to have some kind of a connection that's been ongoing from day one. So when you go back into the Bible and look at Bible prophecies, you look at the all the ancient writings and all the ancient history of the world, you begin to see that somebody has been dominating this planet for a long time. Because nothing is by chance. I mean, how could it possibly be by chance if we're using the same identical symbols that the Roman Empire used, the same words, well, the same terms?
Jordan, you've mentioned this overshadowing power. Now, yes. You can basically see them in their symbols. And one of the main symbols which you have brought to light and spoken about at length is the actual rising sun. And this is usually depicted coming up behind a mountain. Could you speak to that, Jordan?
Yes, the rising sun symbol, that's a very probably the most powerful occult, political, religious symbol the world has ever known. Probably the single most important, powerful, occult symbol the world has ever had and ever known is a sun rising between two mountains. All of the presidents of the United States, so many of them in their inaugural address or in their State of the Union message, and prime ministers in Europe, all of them get around to using the term, and I've got a whole list of them and saved on my computer of presidents and powerful people around the world. All of them getting ultimately around to talking about the rising sun over the mountains of the east. And that there must be something to this for world rulers around the world using the same terms and using the same symbol of a rising sun between the mountains of the east.
Well, Jordan, these world leaders certainly appear to know what's going on, or at least they know that there's some outside influence. It was Benjamin Disraeli. I've seen a quote from him in your presentation where he was quoted speaking about the secret societies which he has to deal with. Then we can go back further to that, to even George Washington, when he was talking about this overriding conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he mentioned it many times. And like I said, this all implies, because if you look at it as long as I have and heard the stories over the years from all of the reference works and all the researchers and writers on the subject, you come to the conclusion that there must be a reason why the same words, terms, symbols, the same concepts have dominated the human race for countless thousands of years. which implies to me that somewhere along the line, a long time ago, someone started this idea of the sun representing the divine presence in the universe, and that the sun rising behind the mountains of the east goes back to Phoenicia, Cana, Babylon, Sumeria, and we can even go further back in the time to India, to the Himalayas, to Egypt. So there's something going on here. What I'm saying is that I believe that there is some sort of an extraterrestrial, other world implications in our symbols. I think that we humans did not come up with these symbols on our own.
Well, Jordan, I believe you worked with Zachariah Sitchin for some time on a number of projects, and he's obviously synonymous with his work to do with the Sumerians and Nibiru. Would you say that it was some kind of intervention like this that came down? And did they leave us this knowledge of the sun? Did they leave us this sun worship?
That's right. That's exactly what happened. I was in business with Zachariah Sitchin for quite some time, and behind the scenes, I sent him to like 5 countries. I helped get his books published and got him on radio and television. And we talked about this often. And yeah, there was no doubt in his mind or in the history of the world that there was some sort of an overshadowing power that has directed the human race and is directing our, not only our evolution, but our destiny. I think that the whole human family on the earth is the product, someone else's product. We have been created by someone, and whoever that is that has the power to create life, you know, Christians and religious people call it God. God created us. Well, whoever created or ever how we humans came into being, whoever that is has you know, technology and wisdom and knowledge beyond anything that we can understand. And that's why I am totally convinced for myself that the governments, religions, philosophies, all the concepts in the world that dominate our world have been given to us by a superior race, someone a long time ago. Let me explain to you. Now, let me give you an example of why I'm saying that. Every culture on the earth that has ever existed, I can't think of one that has not had a zodiac. Every culture, from the Eskimos to Central America to Egypt to India, Africa, Asia, all over the earth, for as far back in history as you want to go, you can go into the most ancient prehistoric history. We know that the zodiac has dominated the whole of the world. Why is that? That from China to Russia to Asia, South Africa, America, all over the world, and go back into the ancient world, all of the ancient cultures of the world, Aztecs, Mayas, the Toltec peoples, Egyptians, everybody on the earth had the zodiac, 12 signs of the zodiac. Why is that? How come everybody knew about the zodiac, and cultures that had nothing to do with each other, thousands of years apart, they all still venerate and use the zodiac as we do today? And so why is that? Well, that's a classic example of what I'm talking about when I say that there's nothing new under the sun. All these symbols and emblems that we have today have been around from day one, as far back in history as you can go. So who was it that was smart enough, bright enough, intelligent enough to show mankind the zodiac and make sure every race of people on the earth would have the zodiac? Anytime you go out at night and look into the sky, it's ludicrous on the face of it to think that people would go out late at night and look at the stars and they would see a virgin, or they would see a man with a water pitcher, or they would see a man with an arrow half horse and half man with a bow and arrow. And that's ludicrous on the face of it. And you go out at night, all you see is millions and millions of stars. So who is it that told us so that all races of peoples in the world all have the same identical understanding of the same identical symbols in the sky? I mean, where does that come from, that we all know the symbols of the zodiac and all the cultures of the world are following that? And so it implies that there's been some kind of a domination over the earth from a long, long time ago. And I'm talking about, I'm talking about maybe hundreds of thousands of years. We know that in the south of France that there was a cave that was found, I think it was by swimmers. This is a very interesting story. Some people were out scuba diving and they swam under this mountain, this mountain or hill underwater. And they came up inside of the mountain, from what I remember of the story, and they come up inside and lit up the cave that they had swam into, and the cave had beautiful paintings of the zodiac all over the wall, and they were not stick figures and primitive drawings. They were beautiful paintings, full color paintings of the 12 signs of the zodiac on the walls inside this cave. And the scientists are saying that these paintings in this cave is at minimum 25,000 years old. 25,000 years ago, they had perfect, beautiful, colorful representation of the zodiac that we have today.
Yes.
What is the meaning of that? What are we supposed to learn from that?
I do find it absolutely amazing. I mean, some of this knowledge, you know, we weren't able to confirm till we had the technology to do so, which makes me think, you know, like you were saying, that this knowledge has come from people who have visited this planet, and the proof of that is really in the ancient Egyptology of all the flying crafts, and you know, it's amazing the more you look into this stuff.
That's exactly right, and time is relevant. You know, time is just something that we dreamt up, and so it very well might be that the Bible is right in Genesis when it talks about the aliens who came here and created us. I mean, I told you the last time, I remember talking to one of the chief rabbis in America back in the 1960s, and he was telling me, he said, nowhere in the Bible does it say man created, that God created man. It doesn't say that. You can't show that in the Bible, in the Old Testament or New, that God created man. God did not create man. God created Adam. Man is Ishi, I-S-H in Hebrew for man is Ish, I-S-H and pronounced Ishi. But in the Bible when it says, and God created Adam, and he said, come let us make man in our image after our likeness. The word man is not Ishi, it's Adam, A-D-M. So come let us make Adam after our image and after our likeness. So that's a whole story of showing how God did not create Ishi. He created Adam, which means that there were people here before Adam. There were people here before us.
Because that actually does it not say in the Bible, Jordan, that the earth was replenished?
And say it again?
Does it not say the actual word is replenished? Now, if it's replenished, actually means it's been done again. So there was something before. So we can see that in the Bible.
Oh, of course, absolutely. Genesis 9, the ninth chapter of Genesis, beginning in the first chapter after the flood of Noah's day, it says that that after the flood, Noah was told by God for his three sons and his wife and three sons and three daughters, there were eight people on board, and it said, God says to Noah, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. And as I told you before, I asked the rabbi if that word was correctly translated, replenish the earth. And he said, yes, that's correct. And I said, well, that implies re means to do again, obviously. And so the idea being is that if the mankind was on the earth and God decided to wipe them off the earth with a flood, that if you're going to have people on the earth, then you're going to have to do it again. You're going to have to replenish the earth. And so he said, yes, that's obvious. Well, then at Genesis 1:28, when God is creating Adam, it says, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. So God was saying to Adam, or Adam, go forth and replenish the earth. Do it again. And
Jordan, we're actually going to be going out to break in just 1 minute. I don't want you to start off on something else, because I hate it when you get cut off midstream. It totally just kills the flow. So, Jono, you've been awfully quiet this half. That has been absolutely amazing. What have you made of this data dump so far?
Unbelievable, Kev. It's really hard not to just sit here and listen, because it's absolutely fascinating.
I know, I flash back to my days of tuning into multiple podcasts, multiple Jordan Maxwell videos, and like you, John, I have to pinch myself sometimes. And coming up right after my show, we have my good friend, Mr. Joe Joseph, with the Freedom Link. I urge everyone to stay tuned for that. Joe's just telling me what's on the show tonight, so when we come back from the break, I'll be able to fill you in with that. And Marty, just before we go out, what did you make of the first half there, man? That was really, really good stuff.
Yeah, definitely informative. I've always said that I believe the whole, you know, slave race thing, maybe something came and put us here, and the elites are fully aware of it, and these are the dark overlords that they worship. So.
Well, on that note, folks, join us straight after these short messages.
Exposing the hate and exploring the love.
I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny. I want it all my freedom and liberty. I'll keep my guns, you can keep your security. I'll stand tall in the face of tyranny.
Welcome back, folks, to this night's broadcast of the Kev Baker Show. And we certainly all are standing right here in the face of tyranny. Sorry about that, folks. Just about to reconnect Jordan Maxwell, our guest tonight. Some of this information, like John was saying, you really, sometimes you have to pinch yourself and you have to switch off from listener mode. And it really can be difficult at times. And I'm just really, really happy to present guests like Jordan, Paul Craig Roberts, Susan Linder, who'll be back on Thursday. Now, I know I can't cater to everyone's tastes. You can't please all of the people all of the time, but you just have to be respectful of the information that might not be for you, because it certainly resonates with others out there. There'll be times on this show that I bring on guests that I probably don't even totally agree with, but it's information and it needs putting out there. Now, before we go on and like reconnect Jordan now, I was saying before the break that my good friend Joe Joseph, he will be coming up after the break with his show, The Freedom Link. And tonight, he's going to be looking at the US reviving group to fight homegrown extremists. Was the Bergdahl prisoner exchange an impeachable offence? I also might think that's a false flag, Joe, but we'll get your take on that later. And Steve Forbes says that the only way to save the dollar is to hitch it to the gold. Is he right? All that up coming on the Freedom Link after the Kev Baker Show. And of course, if you want to catch our very own Joe Joseph on the silver screen, you can catch him on season 3 of America's Book of Secrets, episode 6, the Secret Prisons special, I believe. So, Jordan, you're back with us, sir. That was an immense first half to the show. Looking forward to hearing what you've got to talk about in the second half. I hope you will be able to talk at some kind of length on, it's what you call the world communist agenda. It's basically an overriding agenda which is taking place long time ago and still today. Could you talk to that, sir? Because a lot of the symbols are very communist in appearance.
Yeah, well, that is a very, very big story. I mean, it's unfortunate that people don't understand how these systems work, and it would take hours to go into, and you'd have to be able to see with your eyes also the symbols and words and how they're connected. But there has been a connection between all the different revolutionary movements of the world. Go back and do some research on something called World Revolution Movement. That's the WRM, World Revolution Movement. Go on the web and check it out, and you will find that there's been a movement, a political religious movement, mostly religious movement on the earth for hundreds and hundreds of years, based on things which are thousands of years old, called World Revolution Movement. It's basically a world movement to destroy the old order of the world and bring about a new world order. But this new world order was the same new world order that Adolf Hitler was talking about. He wanted to bring the whole earth under the Nazi domination, which would then lead the world, he felt, would lead the whole world into the new age, the new Aquarian age. And so when we hear terms like new world order and the new order of the world, that basically what they're talking about is the new coming age of Aquarius, a new order in the universe. And this is what the Bible is filled with, this, from Genesis to Revelation, talking about the astrological ages and the march of time. This is what the Bible is all about. The biblical stories from Genesis to Revelation, both Jewish and Christian, are hidden astrological symbolism. Boils down to the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 ages of the Platonic year. I mean, that's why you have in the Christian system, you have Jesus had 12 apostles, and the Hebrew you have the 12 brothers of Joseph, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. Everything in the Bible in the Old Testament is based on 12. Look it up in the back of the Bible. Look up the word 12, and you will see hundreds and hundreds of places where the word 12 is used. That's because the Old Testament of the Bible and the Hebrew religion, like Islam, like Christianity, all three of those religions are based on astrology. Foundation stones of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam is astrology. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to be a part of the masses of millions of people who are confused, have no idea in the world what's going on, and this brings about wars and violence and hatreds, because the people, generally speaking, have not been told and have not been taught where these ancient scriptures came from, what they were actually saying. And so I just think it's too bad. I think it's too bad that the world has not seen the light, so to speak.
And yet, Jordan, we've spoken before about things being hidden in plain sight, and all the symbology required to decode a lot of this is actually present on the back of the dollar bill. It talks about an order of the new age, and it also shows you the eye above the pyramid. Now, I believe that eye, having listened to you, is one of the most misunderstood images and symbols out there. Could you speak to that, sir?
Yeah. The eye on the dollar bill, on the American $1 bill, the eye at the top of the pyramid. Well, most people have never really wondered deeply about why is there a pyramid with an all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid on an American dollar bill. Well, the reason why is because the eye represents the sun, as I said. and the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza. There are three pyramids, three main pyramids on the plateau of Giza. The one in the middle is the largest one. That is not the Great Pyramid of Giza. The Great Pyramid of Giza is the one to the before it. It's a little bit smaller in size than the middle one, but that's the Great Pyramid of Giza. The Great Pyramid of Giza was most likely the Great Pyramid of Giza is Solomon's temple. So in the Hebrew tradition, when you hear Jews talking about Solomon's temple, there was no Solomon's temple because there was no Solomon. Solomon never lived. There was no such man called Solomon. The rabbis know this. The priests know this. The church officials in all religions know this. That there was no King Solomon. There was no King David. All of these ancient so-called kings and prophets never lived. They were never around, in fact. So King Solomon King Solomon's temple is the Great Pyramid of Giza. That is King Solomon's temple. Because the Great Pyramid of Giza, like so many other pyramids around the world, are referred to as the pyramids of the sun. You have that in Central America and Mexico and all around the world. Pyramids were dedicated to the sun.
Jordan,
plays a very important part.
Jordan, I have to interrupt you here. It's for my own personal benefit, basically. This is something that's I've come across a few times, and it's to do with 9/11. And the fact that we've seen the Solomon's building being hit. Now, that was obviously situated behind two big towers. Was that symbolic, or was it just conspiracy theory?
Say that again, the basic question.
But the two towers for the 9/11 disaster, obviously, and then situated behind that, you had the Solomon Brothers building. And a lot of people put out there that there was a big ritual, a satanic ritual going on that day. It was very symbolic, the fact that they took down the two pillars, which you could represent the two pillars of Freemasonry. And then in behind that, you had the Solomon building. Do you think that's just coincidence, or was there something to that?
Well, there's nothing. There are no coincidences, period. In anything. I don't believe in coincidences at all. I think if something is there, it's there for a reason. It's like motion pictures. Anything that's in a movie was there for a reason. They probably had to shoot it 10 times to get the scene just right. To have everything in a movie is there for a reason. And so, yes, there's no doubt that there are massive rituals going on the earth today. Of that, there's no doubt in anybody's mind who studies the subject. But getting back to King Solomon, there was no King Solomon, in fact, and this is what all the historians, even the Jewish encyclopedias and reference works in the Jewish world, will tell you that these people never existed. Well, then, what is the understanding of King Solomon? He was the wisest man on the earth. Well, Solomon comes from Sol, S-O-L. Sol is Latin for the sun. And Om, O-M, is a Hindu presence of creation, which is the sun. And so we have the priest of Om. And then On, O-N, was the city of the sun in Egypt. The Greeks, when they went into Egypt, they came to the city of the sun, and they called it Heliopolis. Well, Heliopolis is a Greek word for that city. But the Egyptians didn't call that city Heliopolis. That's Greek. They called the city of the sun On, O-N. So that's why you flip a light switch on, because O-N was the name of a city that was dedicated to the sun worship. So look it up in the dictionary. Look up the word O-N, On, and it will tell you On is the city of the sun in Egypt, which the Greeks call Heliopolis. So when you take the sun and the three esoteric languages of the world, Latin, Hindu, and Greek, and it becomes Sol, Om, On. Sol-Om-On is Solomon, no, Sol-Om-On, and therefore the temple of Sol-Om-On is the temple of the sun, and therefore the pyramid is referred to as the pyramid of the sun. The great pyramid of Egypt is the temple of Sol-Om-On. And the Masonic masters in this world know that. The great theologians of the world know that. The Billy Grahams and all of the higher orders of intelligence in religions around the world know that. It's just that the people don't know that. The people have never been told. So I'm telling you things which that the people who run this planet, they already know. There was no King Solomon. There was no King David. Look in the original text in the Bible, going back into the 15th century, to the very, very beginnings of printing the Bible, and you will see that some of the translations of the Bible where the word King David would appear, the word was King Druid, not King David, not D-A-V-I-D, but D-R-U-I-D. King Druid, not David. And that's actually in some of the older publications of the translations of the Bible, King Druid. So what we're talking about is Judaism is actually Druidism. And the Druids go back to way before the Roman Empire. So there's a whole story here about the misunderstanding of Judaism, misunderstanding of Christianity, and of Islam. The whole world is lying in the power of ignorance or the prince of darkness, like the scripture said. The whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. Well, the wicked one is simply darkness, evil, the prince of darkness. So the devil was referred to as the prince of darkness, meaning that people who are ignorant, ill-informed, unread, are usually pompous and arrogant and know everything about everything and don't realize that the whole story is astrological in the Old and New Testament. Jesus was God's son, the light of the world, and when you start getting into all of the things which happened to Jesus, I mean, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. And nobody comes to the Father unless he comes through me." Well, we talked about that before. So when you're talking about God's Son, you're talking about S-U-N. And this is why when you have offspring, a male offspring, he's your son, S-O-N. No, it's backwards because the English is the Germanic language. That thing that comes up in the morning, that bright thing that brings life and warmth and energy, is spelled S-O-N in German. So it's God's Son, the light of the world. Incidentally, the Egyptians said that the sun was pure energy, which it is. And energy equals life. So if you don't have any, if you got a battery and it runs out of energy, we say it's a dead battery. And so energy represents life. Well, we wouldn't have any life on this planet if it wasn't for the sun. So therefore, the sun was understood to have energy, and it's giving its energy. So the ancient Egyptians said that if the sun kept its energy and didn't shine on everyone, the good, the bad, the evil, if it kept its energy and didn't shine on anybody, it would last forever because it's pure energy. But the sun is sharing its energy with us. It's sharing it with the earth and with the solar system, so therefore he's sharing his life. So therefore the story about God's Son was that he was giving his life so that you might live. God's Son gave his life so that you might live. That's right, the sun is giving energy so that you can live. So and therefore the gift that God gives through his Son is everlasting life. Well, that's true. There will be everlasting life as long as the sun's there. You know, I mean, people come and go millions of years, but there's always going to be life here. If it's dinosaurs or jungles or you know, whatever kind of animals are on the earth 10,000 years ago or 1 million years ago, it doesn't matter. As long as the sun continues to give us energy, there will be things that are growing. We'll have forests, we'll have animals, we'll have insects. Things will grow because God's Son is the light of the world, and he gave his life so that we might live. So it's all based on some worship. And of course, you know, from there you get into the symbol of the sun, as I said, being a symbol for kings and rulers. And the ancient world, they knew what they were doing. The Babylonians, Sumerians, the Egyptians, the Hindus, all the ancient kings, they knew what these symbols meant. They were representing themselves as the contact between man and God. And so that's why today we still have people who are national leaders and international leaders who believe that they are the mediator between God and man. We got the Pope who actually believes that he is speaking for God. And so it's a very ancient story about how we have been led into believing things which aren't true, totally misunderstanding the words in the Bible. And that's a whole story. When you get into, I've gotten maybe four or five different 90-minute videos out there that haven't even scraped the surface of this whole subject of how astrology, astral theology has dominated the whole human race from day one. And it's still today. We still are seeing the same identical stories today that have been around for thousands of years. Today we got Christians talking about New Agers, and they say that the New Agers are workers of the devil. They're working with the devil, and anybody who talks about this subject is a devil worshiping, and he's called a New Ager, never realizing for a moment that Christianity is a New Age religion. It's been given to us by Freemasonry. Freemasonry is the progenitor of what we call Christianity. So if Christians want to badmouth Freemasonry, they had better go back and actually read the history of Christianity, and they will see there wouldn't be a Christianity without the Freemasonic world movement. Freemasonry gave us Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, period. It's all astrology.
So, Jordan, do you think that humanity's just become so disconnected from the true spiritual force, or the true God, you might say, and that most of the religions were created with half-truths to deceive us and keep us trapped, you know?
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's why today there's so much ignorance, so much violence, hatred, dogma, so many ignorant, ill-informed people who do not see. They look with their eyes, like the Bible has Jesus saying. They look with their eyes, but do not see. They listen with their ears, but do not hear. And with the heart, they do not get the sense of it. And so that's exactly the case.
Jordan, it's like people have been hypnotized. When you speak of the New World Order, it's okay to hear it from somebody like George Bush Sr., or Henry Kissinger, but if the ordinary person mentions New World Order, then they think you're some kind of crazy freak.
Well, you know, I would think people in Europe would be more likely to understand where New World Order, you know, where that term was most famous was in Europe, not even in America. The word New World Order became famous in European history under Adolf Hitler. Hitler referred to his regime as the New World Order. I mean, all you got to do is go back and read the history of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement, and Adolf Hitler himself talked about he was planning what he called a New World Order. But that New World Order was the coming of the age of Aquarius. So what the Nazis were doing were trying to prepare themselves to be the masters of the new order in the universe. I mean, the Bible even says in Revelation, talks about how war broke out in heaven. It's in the book of Revelation. war broke out in heaven. Well, what are you talking about? There's a war in heaven with the stars. It's called Star Wars. And the Star Wars is basically the war between the stars. And what stars? Well, the stars that make up the constellation of Pisces, and the stars that make up the constellation of Aquarius. And so Pisces is leaving soon, and Aquarius is coming in. Well, you know, no king likes to give up his power to another king. If you're going to take over a country, you're going to have to do war with it, because nobody's going to give you their country. Well, the heavens are not going to give up. The age of Pisces, the two fish, that's why Jesus fed his followers with two fish. The two fish is the two fish of Pisces, and it does not want to give up its power over the earth. But there's a war broke out in heaven. What kind of war? A war among the heavens, a Star Wars. What are you talking about? Aquarius is now pushing Pisces, pushing Pisces out of the way and coming in to dominate the world for 2,150 years. That's how long each constellation, the zodiac, rules the world. So what we're saying is that there's going to be a 2,150-year period beginning soon, and it will be a new world order under Aquarius. And there's nothing demonic or evil about this. It's simple astrology. And Hitler knew it. Hitler was trying to bring about, he was trying to establish the power base that would rule the world during the age of Aquarius. And so many other people have been trying to do the same thing. Well, there is coming a new world order, but it's not going to be what you think it is. The age of Aquarius is not going to be what people think it's going to be. You know, I've heard all the stories about how wonderful the world's going to be in the age of Aquarius. Well, you better go back and look at the astrological symbols and get it straight. The age of Aquarius is going to be a terrible, terrible time on the earth for the human race. It's not going to be very pretty. You can begin to see it coming now with the world fascist dictatorships, police state, with the violence and corruption all over the world. That's taking us into the age of Aquarius, which is really going to be a dark time on the earth. If you think it's dark now, watch what's coming.
Well, Jordan, we're almost out of time again. We're almost out of time again, so it just goes by so fast when you're on. But do you think there's any hope for humanity on the whole to turn this around, or are we destined for this new world order?
Well, what you're asking me is a subjective question. It's just my opinion. But I am totally convinced for myself that it's not supposed, the human race is not supposed to be able to extricate itself out of this situation. When I don't think the human race has what it takes to figure out what's going on here and be intellectually honest and look at everything and know what's happening and educate themselves. I don't think the human race has that capability. I don't think people are smart enough to do that. I think most people are interested in their sports and their little lives, that they don't have the wherewithal to think deeply about these things.
Well, Jordan,
so that being the case, which I'm sure it is, I don't think the human race is going to be able to stop anything from happening.
Well, Jordan, certainly an accusation that can't be leveled at you by anyone is the fact that you haven't tried to open people's eyes to what's going on around them. And myself, Johnny Whistles, and Big Martin would like to thank you for tonight's performance and all the years of research you've done. And I'm sure the listeners out there, they share that sentiment as well. We've had you on for the past 3 weeks now, Jordan. We've been absolutely privileged and blessed to have you on with us, sir. I just want to thank you again one more time.